This is what the Lord told me when I started writing books. In the world, people write books to become millionaires. They get money, royalties. Christian preachers write books to make money. You must never write a book to make money. That's why we publish all our books at Christian Fellowship Center, Bangalore, and I get zero royalty from it. I don't want it. The Apostle Paul is my example, who said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what I've supported myself all these years that I've been serving the Lord. So I see very clearly, so much of Christendom today is in the spirit of Babylon, seeking gain for themselves, preaching for honor, preaching for money, writing books for money. This is Babylon. So if we keep this in mind, we'll understand a little bit of where this all leads. Let me just show you another passage in 2 Timothy, and it'll become clearer. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Paul is speaking here about the last days. And, you know, we are living in the last days. And he says here in 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, difficult times will come. Or as the Living Bible paraphrases it, it will be very difficult to be a Christian in the last days. Not because of persecution. No, that is also true. But here he's referring to the fact that there are people who will have a form of godliness, verse 5. This is why it's going to be difficult to be a Christian in the last days. Listen carefully. Because around you will be Christians who have an appearance of godliness. The form of godliness is the doctrine. Those who have the right doctrine. Those who preach the truth. We're not talking about people who preach error. People who will preach the right form of godliness, but lack the power. You remember what I said about the two trees in the Garden of Eden? It's the same thing here. These are the two trees, 2 Timothy 3, 5. The tree of knowledge, the form of godliness, Bible knowledge, exact, correct doctrine, but no life, no power to live that godly life. So that's right here. Babylon and Jerusalem are right here in 2 Timothy 3, 5. A form of godliness without power. And in other words, they'll be talking about Jesus. They may be their full-time workers preaching about Christ. And maybe they become famous in their city or town or worldwide or whatever it is. But it says there are four types of lovers mentioned in verses 1 to 4. Read carefully. Four types of lovers. The only correct one is the lover of God. The lover of God is the bride of Christ. The other three lovers are part of Babylon. And they are, verse 4, lovers of pleasure. Lovers of sinful pleasure, of sexual pleasure, preachers who fool around with women, not their wives, and who commit sin, but hide it so that nobody knows about it. And they get a name as a great preacher, but in secret, they're living in sin. 100% Babylon will be judged by God in the final day. God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't care whether you're world famous or anything like that. He looks for purity. Many who are first will be last in the final day. So lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This is the contrast. Babylon consists of Christians who love sinful pleasure more than they love God, who love pleasing themselves more than pleasing Jesus Christ. Pleasure, to love pleasure means to please yourself. It could be sexual pleasure. It could be any type of thing. You know, the Bible speaks even about gluttony as a sin. Philippians chapter 3, it speaks about those whose God is their stomach. People whose God is their stomach. Have you ever thought of that as a sinful thing to make, that gluttony could be a sin? To eat to live is right. But to live to eat, that's completely wrong. It says in Philippians 3 about those whose God is their stomach. In Philippians 3:19. So that's another type of pleasure we've got to be careful about. A true Christian follows Jesus and he's disciplined in his life. Disciplined in the use of his time. Disciplined in the way he spends his mind. And disciplined in the way he lives his life. I'm not saying that he has no time for relaxation. It's perfectly all right to relax, to play games with our children, and to go outdoors, to go for a walk, to go for a picnic. All that is okay, provided our aim in everything, like it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. That's a true disciple of Jesus. You say, is it a high standard? Certainly is. Should we aim for that? Now, I can answer that question when you say, you mean all of us Christians should aim to live for the glory of God? Let me ask you another question. You answer that and then you'll get the answer to this one. Do all of you want to be in perfect health? Or would you like to have a little bit of sickness? I don't mean too much sickness, just 1% or 5% sickness. How many of you would say, yes, I love 5% sickness? Not even one. I'm 81 years old, but I don't love sickness, I'll tell you that. I don't want to be sick, not even 1%. I love health. I love health 100%. If so, I want to live for the glory of God 100%. I want to do everything for the glory of God. Why is it that every one of you will love health, physical health 100%, but not spiritual health 100%? What do I mean by that? When your conscience convicts you about something, it's like a sickness. It could be a cancer, serious sickness, or it could be an injury, a broken bone perhaps. Now, whether it's a cancer or a broken bone, every one of you will seek to set it right in some way possible. Nobody says, oh, I got cancer, it's okay, let me live with that. No, you won't say, my bone is broken, let me leave it like that. Let me leave my hand hanging around like this. No, we fix it immediately. We don't wait. We go to the doctor. We go to the hospital. We love health so much that we fix anything, even a small injury in our hand. We go and put some medicine or a band-aid or something there immediately. That is how much we love physical health. And I want to urge you, my brothers and sisters, it's very simple to live the Christian life. Love spiritual health in exactly the same way. Is that too much? Supposing I were to say to you, I'm going to give you some instructions on how you can be 100% healthy. Would you like to listen to that? Oh, yes. There's not a single person who does not want to be 100% healthy. But I'm sorry, I'm not a dietitian or a doctor. I can't give you that instruction. But I can tell you how to be 100% spiritually healthy. And if you claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you're not interested in being 100% spiritually healthy, I want to say to you, you've got the spirit of Babylon in it a little bit, and you just leave it like that, it'll grow. You know, the giants in Canaan had little children, and they would grow up to be giants unless you kill them as well. That's why the Lord said, don't only kill the giants, kill their little children. So the principle there is, there are small sins in your life. The Bible says in Song of Solomon chapter 2, take care of the little foxes. Get rid of them. Get the little ones, not the big ones. The little ones. The small little sins. The small little scorpion crawling around in your house. The small serpent. Small one. Not big enough to run away fast. Small one. Kill it while it is small. So what does that mean? It means that as soon as you're convicted in your conscience about something, you immediately set it right. You don't wait. What do I mean practically? You suddenly realize that you spoke rudely to your wife 5 minutes ago. And you're aware of it. Maybe your wife is kind enough to ignore it, forgive it, doesn't say anything, smiles at you. But you have still hurt her. You must ask her forgiveness. Otherwise, don't just go to God and say, Lord, forgive me. That's good. But you know what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 23, 24? He said, if you have hurt your brother, don't go to God and ask his forgiveness first. Go to your brother, ask his forgiveness first, then come and bring your offering to God. And if I don't ask forgiveness from another person, that verse is teaching me that I should not go to God at all. In the same way, if somebody has hurt me and I feel in my heart an anger towards him or a bitterness towards him, you are sinning. Forgive him immediately. If you don't forgive, you are not interested in spiritual health. I want to ask you, do you want to bring an offering like Cain? What's the minimum I have to do to give to God? That is Babylon.